Yeah, we're going to war today. That's our plan. We're going to war today. We're going to war today. Yes, sir. What's up? What up? What up? What up? What's up? We're going in today. I got time today. We're going in. And I'm going to be honest, guys. I don't have any notes. This is not planned. This is not script. This is going to come straight from the heart. You dig? So we're going to really talk about today a statement that I have made over the last 3 years. Solid credential that makes me credible in this community for this particular topic. And that is what I've talked about before, my 8-year streak of retention in my 20s. And so I'm going to go in detail today for a number of reasons. I feel like these videos are helping people. Matter of fact, let me rephrase that. I know these videos are helping people. In fact, and by the way, forgive the car being on my phone's at 40%. So I'm going to charge it for about maybe 20, 30 minutes or so. And then I'll turn the car off so, you know, have better sound quality or whatnot. But with that being said, there was a guy recently put that work in the gym as we speak. There you go. There you go. Put me on the background. You just put the headphones in, get it in, get your good workout in. You dig what I'm saying? So, you know, I had a guy who messaged me on Instagram yesterday, and he's speaking of weights. He's into fitness. He's at an elite level, I would say. Big guy, ever been 250, 300 pounds. And he messaged me yesterday and said, man, big bro, you know, your videos are helping me out. You know what I mean? I've been on retention since September. You know, and I'm seeing the benefit of that in his life. He just recently got a collab. I forget the guy's name, a young white man who has a really big following on YouTube. He's very popular with weights. I've watched some of his videos. As you guys know, I'm on a fitness journey myself. And I watch a number of fitness guys online for content and for encouragement. And, you know, he's doing a collab recently with a guy who has a pretty big following on YouTube with fitness content. And I believe in my heart, part of the reason why he got the collab is that him being on retention brought that positive energy to his life. I do believe that. See, retention has helped me put good quality muscle on, no joke. I believe it. Getting back to kickboxing, you know, so that's one of the benefits is that you will, if you are into that type of stuff, you know, if you are into the gym and weights and fitness, you will get physically stronger. That's no brainer. Of course, you got to eat right. Of course, you got to have your creatine, your diet, you know what I mean? You know, go through the list, proteins, water, fruits and vegetable intake, sleep, rest, you know, change the different routines. Every now and then you got to have a 7 days deloading cycle, you know, the whole nine yards. And there's a lot that comes with having a quality, solid physique. A lot of hard work and retention can be helpful with that process. So if you already are a strong man who is on that path, this will most certainly take you to the next level. Seat retention is something that is ancient, the men was into probably 40 years ago, maybe so. Seat retention is something that men have always done. It just may not have been, wait, hey, what's up, LaRonda, what up, what up, what up, man, what up, what up? I just saw you over on IG, what's up? Seat retention has always been practiced by men. You know what I mean? That's why the few guys who don't understand it, matter of fact, a lot of guys who don't understand it and think that this is some type of weird topic or something like that, it shows me how much you don't know about your own manhood, you know, and how, so this is nothing new. This is an ancient practice that was practiced years ago and has been practiced to this day by men, even in 2023. So this is a, will be the proper word. This is a discipline that men in every generation have used, the ones who are smart. Can you leave this live up, about to head to work? Yeah, definitely. That's why I'm doing this now. I know most guys right now, it's 11 o'clock. You're probably either at work, on lunch. And so I'm doing this now because I have the time to do it right now. And I'm going to save this so you guys can listen to it tonight. So I'm guessing most guys will probably hear this sometime between 4 and 10 p.m. That's when I have my most views. So between 4 p.m. and 10 p.m., a lot of guys see this talk. Somebody said, I just finished rotating my tires. You man, take care of the car. That's your horse. I was told by my mentor, you got to take care of your house, your car, your woman, and your job. We call it the 4 R's. You gotta make sure your car right, your house right, your woman right, and your money right. You dig? Masculinity was the high during that. I can recall how far back. I didn't get a chance to read all that. Went by too fast. So, but yeah, take care of the car, man. You're not going nowhere without your vehicle. I take care of my horse. Matter of fact, I gotta get some tires myself soon, to be honest. I gotta buy some more tires. So, guys, let's get to it. Kind of just small talking right now while guys come in. We got about 50 here now, which is not bad considering it's 12 o'clock noon. Some of you guys may be on lunch break, you know what I mean, pretty soon. So I'm expecting some guys come in between 12 and 1. Just came in from walking. That's what's up. You know, get out there, get that sunlight, man. Get that vitamin C. So, Iron and Soul, it's great to see you, man. God bless. Oh, appreciate you, Elijah. Glad you came in, brother. Brother Elijah does content as well on seed retention. He's a young man, I think in his early 20s. And his story has been powerful to see that, to see God work in his life. And like a lot of young men his age, and me too, and it's kind of like tying it to why I'm even getting to this today, you know, how I got into retention in the first place. Like most of you guys, you know, as a teenager, I didn't have any idea, or I didn't understand how important it was or is to control your sexual energy. So at 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, I didn't know. So I just did what most guys at age do. You know, you mess around with girls, you know, in high school, you know, your first time experiment with that and whatnot. Looking at books like Black Tail. I'm going to keep it real with you. Looking at naked women online. Jordan, what up, man? Appreciate that, brother. All praise to Most High God and practicing seed retention while trading Fox and options and proving. Guys, get into that. We are in the last days. Brother Jordan said he's trading right now, so I encourage you guys to study that cryptocurrency, trading, the future for finances. And so, you know, I'm not a financial guru, but I got a lot of common sense. And so I encourage you guys who are smart to start learning that. Even if you don't do it right now, start the process. So to be a little transparent myself, Brother Iron's not even doing it yet. And so I'm planning to, my plan is to start studying that next month in April. Crypto is the foundation of the beast system. Okay, keep up the good work. Much love. I respect you, my G. You know, so back on track here before I get sidetracked. And I'm saying, keep commenting, keep saying what you want to say, express yourself. Just not, express yourself, say what you want to say. You know what I mean? So back to what I was trying to say as a teenager, talk about Elijah. Elijah got into, you know, corn is what the word we use, like most of us do at 15, 16, 17, 18. And Elijah got out of it at a young age. Got on track, got him a year streak going, 2 year streak going. Now he's online himself teaching other guys. So check Elijah out as well with his content. And not just on retention, but also biblical masculinity. And that's what I'm bringing to the table here on my channel. And this is the struggle that so many people have with me, right? It's like on one hand, you're this Bible scholar guy that taught the Bible all these years. I have a history in that. You guys know my background, theology. I studied theology formally for 10 years. I have 3 ministerial degrees. I don't say that to boast. I say that to, of course, give my credibility for this. I'm not online talking about God just out of nowhere. Okay, so prior to getting on YouTube, I talked to people about God for a solid 10 years. And, you know, with that, you know, I also have an awareness and consciousness of what's happening in our communities, what's happening in our world, more particularly what's happening here in America. In terms of, let's just say low-income communities. We'll leave it there. Because this is not just about black people. It could be blacks, Hispanics, whites who struggle financially. So I do have a heart for people, excuse me, who are disenfranchised in some cases, who struggle financially, who at times are being abused by these industries that know these young people are struggling financially, and they abuse them by giving them these garbage jobs. Okay, let's talk about that without even naming any names. They put these jobs in low-income communities because they know you are desperate, need the money, and they know you don't have the skills yet. So they basically have you doing all this work for little money. You know, I know about all that, right? And so I have a heart for people who are abused, I have a heart for people who are struggling, who are trying to change. And, you know, people who, you know, want to take what the ancient principles of the Bible teach, principles rather, and combine that with what's happening in the real world. So like I used the analogy yesterday, I have my Bible in one hand and I have my phone in my other hand. The phone represents what's happening in the world, the youth, the culture, music, et cetera. And I'm understanding that, the you know, the TV, television, you know, all the various aspects of our current modern culture and world. I'm aware of all of that, But at the same time, I'm aware of what the Word of God says. And so what I do, or try to do each and every day with this content, is I take the ancient Hebrew scriptures in the New Testament Greek, and I try to give you, make it practical for the world where we live in. And for whatever reason, that makes a lot of people uncomfortable. Because it's like, okay, on one hand, you're this Bible guy, but you're kind of cool too. You're hip. You're talking about rap music. You're talking about Jesus. And next thing you know, you're talking about Chief Keef. You're talking about the Word of God. And now you're talking about what's happening with Russell Wilson and his wife. You follow me? And that rubs people the wrong way. But the reality of the matter is, as believers in the Most High God, like the prophet Daniel, we are supposed to be aware of the times. Did you know that? That's in the Bible, by the way. The Bible says that Daniel was aware of the times. So he understood what was happening. Just because we believe in God, we're not living on Mars. I live in the real world. I'm a real black man, okay? Just because I believe in Jesus, guess what? That doesn't change the experience I have as a black man in America. That's still reality. I'm a real human being in this real car living in the real world. So we take the principles from heaven and we bring it down here to reality. That makes sense? And that's what I call ironing the soul. It's extreme mental anguish that makes you strong as iron with the help of God. So we take all of that and we're trying to build men who become iron pillars in this kingdom we're calling iron in the soul. That's my philosophy. And that's kind of a rough way of putting that. I hope to get more polished as time goes on. But let's talk about it. What you guys came here to hear today. How did I achieve 8 years of monk mode retention? I've covered this topic before. And normally I did like maybe a 20-minute talk, half an hour. And it wasn't enough for people, you know, because guys are on their streaks of, let's say, for example, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. And you know what? This guy on the internet says he did 8 years. I did 1 year straight. That's great. By the way, that's huge in these last days. The urges were unreal. I can imagine. So guys, let me say this about my 8 year streak. No competition, by the way. Okay. So if you're on 1 year, or if a guy did 2 months or even 1 month. Thank you for that donation, brother. Sending my thanks, brother. Thanks for leading the way. Corbin Dixon. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that donation. I really do. So, you know, guys, we're all in different parts of this journey. If you have had an addiction to, you know what, for, let's say, for example, for 1 year, for 5 years, say you started looking at corn on your phone at 12 years old, and you looked at that stuff from 12 to 18. That's 6 whole years of all type of images and information that is in your mind now. It's gonna take some time to rewire that. And this is why many people, including myself in the community, have suggested at least 90 days cold turkey. I still suggest that, by the way. If you are a guy new to the journey, start off with 3 months and make that your goal to get there. You know, and how do you get there? One day at a time. Okay. One day becomes 5 days. 5 days becomes 10 days. 10 days becomes 20. Now you're at a month. Now you're at 2 months. You look up, boom, 12 weeks, 84 days, add 8 days to that, bam, you got 90 days. It's possible. So let me talk about how my journey began. I want to give you some insight today. And this is going to be personal because this is my person. This is my real life. You know what I mean? And I will say, first of all, before I forget any of this, I got to get this out there. Clearly, exercise is key, bro. Definitely stay in the gym. Clearly, God helped me. Okay, I'm gonna be clear on that. You know, I'm a believer in the Most High God, so I give all glory to the Most High. God helped me. There's no disputing that. But I will say right there with that, what helped me achieve 8 years of retention from the age of 20 to 28. We're talking back, I'm going back my history. I'm not saying I'm on 8 years right now, by the way. From because I got 3 kids, my son will be 7 in May, so it'll make me a liar. for the critics. I'm talking about when I was in my 20s. We're reflecting right now. So from 20 to 28, I was on just celibacy. Now, the ironic thing about that is that at that time, I had not even heard of semen retention. So from 20 to 28, I was just being celibate. Never heard of retention. Never heard of NoFap, any of those things. I didn't hear about that until years later. I'll get to that in a second. So what helped me during that time? You ready for this? I had almost 0% internet access. You say, Aaron, what do you mean by that? During 8 years, I did not have a Facebook account. I was not on IG. In fact, I didn't get on Facebook until I was 33 years old. I know that sounds weird to you guys, but I did not get on social media until I was 33. Jesus age. Okay? I was 33. Big 33. Jesus. Jesus year. That's when I finally got online. So during my 20s, I literally was on monk mode. I didn't have a Facebook account. I didn't have IG. I was not on Twitter, nothing. Now, am I suggesting that that stuff is wrong? No, I'm not suggesting that. I'm not saying that because I have all those accounts right now. But I'm trying to be honest with you guys. That was instrumental in me achieving that streak. Me not, you say, were you locked up? Were you locked up, LOL, 8 years as well? No, I was not locked up for 8 years. I'll get into what actually happened during an 8-year period of time. And this is something that I knew was going to happen. Is that, you know, just because a person may not be able to achieve something doesn't mean the next man can't. Okay? There are men who are celibate their whole lives based on decisions they make. For example, Nikola Tesla was one of them. So it says you've protected your mental health. Definitely. And no doubt about that. Somebody says, I'm on day 33 right now. That's good, man. You're on your way. Keep going. Close to 5 weeks straight. So during that time, I had no social media. And someone just commented a good comment. You protected your mental health. I do believe that. There was, because with social media, and this is not, I'm not going to turn this into a long social media bash. That's not the purpose of this. I'm not going to do that. Because there are some benefits to social media. But I will say this. One of the dangers of social media is consistently comparing your life to somebody else. You don't know these people. So you're always looking at another man or woman who you think is more achieved than you, has more followers, has more money. And the problem with that is you're often seeing the best of the best. So you got this social media account, and say, for example, you're a guy like myself, you're going to the gym. You're going working out, you're feeling good about yourself, and you see, you go online, you see 30 guys looking like this. Buff, cut up, six pack, abs, legs, everything. And you're thinking, man, what am I doing? And what you're not thinking about is that you're looking at the top 10% in the whole world. Most guys don't look like that. Same thing with the women. You got the best looking women in the world on social media. You're thinking, wow, this lady looks like this. That's the top 5-10% in the entire earth. And so here you are now comparing your everyday life. This is what people do. Your everyday regular life to the top 5-10% people on planet Earth. Are you following me? So what's it going to do to you? If you're not wise, it's going to make you feel inferior. It'll make you feel less than. It could eventually lead to jealousy. This is why so many people get online in the comments section talking crazy. Some of you can come over here talking crazy. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting for guys to come over talking crazy. It's going to happen. Why? Because that jealousy kicks in and you start thinking you should have what someone else has. That's one of the dangers of social media. But like I said, let me stop that because I don't want to turn to a social media message. We're talking about my streak of 8 years. Prior to that, 17, 18, 19 years of age, I was on the west side of Chicago. I was a gang member. You guys know my story. I've been honest about that. I don't have to hide that. I'm iron, so I keep it all the way 1,000 with you. I was a Four Corner hustler. West side of Chicago, game banging, hat cock, the whole nine yards. And doing what came with guys who live in West side of Chicago. That was how I lived. I was messing around with girls, young women at that time. Sometimes women older than me. You dig what I'm saying? Looking at books I shouldn't be looking at. Doing all of that. Fapping. I was doing all of the above from about, let's say about 16 to about 19. So about 3 years. I went to prison at a young age. In prison, according to Larry Hoover, for those who don't know, is the was the king. He renounced that. Now he's no longer associated with the Gangster Disciples, and I understand that. But he was the king of the Gangster Disciples, GDs, for close to 50 years. And what's up? What, who is that? What's up? So Larry Hoover said this about prison. Prison will make you do one of two things. It will harden you, or to make you think. So Brother Iron went twice. I got a hard hit. I went twice. The first time, it hardened me. I came out worse. In fact, my grandma called me Super Thug. Yeah, grandma said, baby, you came out, you graduated, you was worse. 10 toes down in the streets, black and gold bees in my hair, game banging, listening to loud music, wild. Okay, I'm not bragging, I'm just giving my story, my history. I'm getting to how I got to where I got, right? Wilding out, going to clubs, getting into fights, all that. You know what I mean? And at 19, the second time I went in, I started thinking, this ain't what I want. Right? Ain't that what Lil Durk says in his song? This ain't what you want. This ain't what I want. It became clear to me, if this is my future, I don't want this. So literally, I got on the straight and narrow. I got on monk mode. I got into the Bible. Somebody said a lot of change happens between 19 and 20. Oh, definitely. I mean, literally from 19, I went from a gang member to a saint. That was my experience. Literally in 19, I was gang banging on the west side of Chicago. And in 20, I had a clean cut and I was reading the Bible every day in jail. So when I give these Bible talks, guys, I have been studying the Bible for a long time. Okay. So I started in prison reading the Bible. I would read for hours. We're talking about how I did my first year. So my first year of retention was in prison. Matter of fact, my first 2 years of that 8-year streak. So from 20 to 22, I was behind bars. So the first 2 years of that 8 years, I was in jail. Excuse me. So I want you to imagine young Iron, 20 years old, in the joint. We're not talking about county lockup, we're talking about the pen. You dig? In the joint with the guys. And I was sitting down, reading every day for hours. During that 2 years, I got my GED. I took classes in psychology, human development. What else did I take? Psychology, human development. It's been a while now. Human development. There was some other classes. I can't remember all of them now. But I took several courses in college. You can take college courses in jail, by the way. You can get the degrees if you go far enough. In jail, got my GED, read through the whole Bible. You'd be surprised how many guys profess to believe in the Bible have never read the whole book. If you listen to this message right now, and you claim to be a Christ follower, and you have never read the whole Bible, my question is to you, why not? Know what you believe. Okay, when I was gangbanging, I knew literature. I knew the prayers. I knew what I was a part of. The 5-point star. Whatever you're part of, you should at least know what you're doing. So when I was in the streets, I understood the literature of the streets. Once I got into the Bible, I started to understand that. I'm the type of man, if I'm in something, I'm in it 10 toes down. Like I said, when I was in the streets, 10 toes down. Gangbanging, fighting, kicking off fights on the bus, in the club, wilding out. That was how I was living. Once I stopped all that, I got serious about God the same way. Reading the Bible every day, I started fasting right away. I'm telling you how I did this. Started fasting right away. I put down those corn books. I had some of my in my cell. Took those, threw them in a garbage can. Boom, that's it, done. So some of you guys right now, man, you gotta get serious. You gotta ask yourself, how bad do you want this? You can make excuses about what the women are doing. By the way, as a man, if you consistently blame your actions on a woman, you have to question that. That's for you four guys in the comment section, or 10 guys, whoever watches this video later, who want to blame all your actions on women. You are a man. Stop that. If the first thing come out of your mouth, you can't do something because of a woman, stop that. You a man. You govern yourself. You make your own decisions. It's up to you to make something happen. You can't blame Instagram models or OnlyFans or anything else. If that's what's bothering you, get off social media. Bottom line, if that's the issue, and it is an issue, by the way, if that's the issue, man, brother, delete that app. You know, you gotta do whatever it takes for you to be successful. And the question is, how bad do you want it? That's what it boils down to. How bad do you want this? You see, when you want something bad enough, you sacrifice for it. This is why Kobe Bryant woke up at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning. Main thing is to be clean mentally and spiritually. So he says the main thing about retention is to be clean mentally and spiritually. That's where the battle begins. Yeah, the battle was in the mind. The battleground for this type of, when we talk about sexuality, the battle is in the mind and in the body. Your physical testosterone as a man, your sex urges, which are natural, by the way. So let me put that out there too, because I'm going to be all over the place today. Like I said, ain't no notes. I'm just going to speak from the heart. No notes, just speaking whatever God brings to my heart. Let me say this too also. Having sex urges are not bad. Okay? Don't demonize that. Because when you demonize your natural urges, if you're not careful, that can lead to binge watching porn and addiction and going to the other extreme. So don't deny that. Embrace that desire. Embrace that urge. That is a sign that you are a healthy and normal man. What you have to do with that is take that natural sex energy that we have as men and transform it to something else. And that's what I did. I was consistently transmuting the energy through what? Like I said, first 2 years, I would sit down literally and read for hours. When I was in jail, I would literally sometimes read in my cell for 5 hours straight, studying, reading, reflecting. So if you want to be on retention, I've been challenging you guys to do this for years now. Some of you guys need to get serious about your study. Let's start there. Because as the brother just pointed out, it begins in the mind. Excuse me. So some of you men need to become more studious. Read some books. All right, any tips on staying focused? I procrastinate a lot. I guess that's a general question. The general answer would be procrastination is essentially being indecisive. That's what that is. And I'm not judging you, I'm just answering your question. When you procrastinate, you're afraid to make a move. Kind of like, think about somebody in a basketball game, right? You're playing basketball. What do they say? Study long, study wrong. You can't be sitting there, oh, do I shoot? Do I do that? You gotta do something. You either shoot, go to the hole, something. So it's the same thing in life. You can't sit back in neutral. And that's a sign of being double-minded. And from a Bible perspective, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So I'm not talking about you. I'm trying to give you some free game online. Okay? So I've struggled with that. We all have, as men, struggle with procrastination, if we're honest. I've struggled with that in my manhood. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. I've had that issue. I had to learn that, okay, I'm doing this because I'm afraid to make a decision. Right? So we have to overcome that fear of decision, make a decision. That's a big part of manhood, is being decisive. And sometimes you're going to make the wrong ones. That's okay. At least you made one. Because to not make a decision is to make a decision. Right? When you don't decide, that was your decision. And what happens is when you're consistently indecisive as a man, other people will think for you, especially women. So throw some out there. You know, so that's a good question. I think a lot of guys struggle with that, if we're honest. You know, we got to be decisive. And that, back on topic, is one of the benefits of seat retention. You become more decisive. I'm sure you guys can identify with this. Shout out to Captain Simback. He's mentioned this in his content. And one of the things he's mentioned is that when he was on a streak of 6 months, he knew what to do. Right? And that's been my experience, too. When you're retaining, you know what to do next. You have this direction, this intuition that you didn't have before. And the reason for that, I personally think that, you know, from a spiritual perspective, you're more in tune with God. Your prayer life probably is better. You might be meditating, you know, so you're more in tune with the spiritual as opposed to the natural. Now, let me say this also back on track about social media. You guys are all smart, right? How did you deal with the urges? I mean, that's a good question. You know, it's hard to answer that because it's like, how did I do something for 8 years? It's kind of what you're essentially asking. How did you, for 8 years, control yourself sexually? And that's the purpose of this talk. That can't be answered one way. That's like asking someone how they become a good athlete. There were a lot of things he did. Diet, sleep, practicing, you know what I mean? Skills, training. So for me personally, what I'm going to discuss in this video will answer that question. There's no one way to answer that, but productive, the short and long of that, productivity, focus, careful with my eye gates. Like I said, I was on my line scrolling at women all day long. Because by the way, guys, if you're doing that, if you're on your phone scrolling looking at women all day long, it's only a matter of time before you relapse. It's just that simple. It's only so much of that as a man that you can take. So if you're on your phone just scrolling, looking at woman after woman, what you think gonna happen? You know, you'll stay strong the first day, second day, maybe even a week, but eventually you're gonna fold. Because, you know, we're not wired as men to see all of that and not have a reaction to that. That bottom line. So somebody said time waste is definitely wasting time is what it is. So you got control of what you're looking at. If you're consistently looking at sexually explicit images, you're done. I don't care how strong you are, how smart you are, you're still a man. I'm a man. So if Iron Soul stuff like that, that's what happened to me. Okay? It's that simple. If I'm on my phone scrolling cheeks, relapse. Okay? So control what you see. Control. Remember this. Your eyes are gates. I've given that analogy before. These are gates, your eyes, your ears, and your mouth. So your mouth and your eyes and ears are all gates to your soul. Follow me. Follow my logic. It's simplistic, but it's the truth. So what goes through these eyes of ours and what you're listening to, okay? What you say out your mouth, that is directly connected to your spirit. And it's only a matter of time before all that activity causes you to respond a certain way. It's only a matter of time. So someone says 130 days today, cold showers have been helpful. I do recommend cold showers. That's very helpful, especially first thing in the morning. When you wake up and you have that high sexual energy, I would recommend hopping right into a cold shower, shooting energy up and getting that energy within your body and your mind so you can be productive. So, you know, guys, I mean, that's a good question, how to handle the urges. I think we have to look at it differently. The sex urge is there. Let me kind of get a little deeper here now, because you guys come to me if you want something profound, right? The urge is there because we as men have a desire for greatness. We seek excitement, thrills. This is why guys ride motorcycles. This is why men join the military. This is why men play sports. This is why men chase beautiful women. We seek adventure, right? We were made by the Most High God to be warriors, to be leaders, to be strong, to be successful. And this is why there's a very common statement that's on the circulating online right now. You see it all the time. When a man loses focus on his purpose, or when a man loses sight of his purpose, he numbs himself with pleasure. And I know it's not the exact quote, but you all get the point. When you're not focused on purpose, the only other option is pleasure. Because as a man, you got to have something going on. You got to have some type of thrill. That's the way we're wired. So you're either seeking the thrill of women and sex and lust and what comes with that, or you're seeking the thrill of success, getting things done, getting more money, getting in better shape. That's the high you're seeking. So rather than to spill that seed and to lose that energy, why not retain that essence and get stronger in the gym? Increase your money. Become successful. That's the rush you want. Being able to go into your pocketbook and spend money and put your kids in any school you want to put your kids in. That's the rush you want. Being able to buy the foods you want to eat at home. Being able to live where you want to live. Being able to drive the type of car that you want to drive. That's what we're seeking as men. So when we begin to accomplish those goals, that to me, in my humble opinion, that's the big picture, but that's really not still answering your question. You say, okay, all right, I believe that, I understand that. That's okay, it's kind of common sense. How do I deal with it? And that's the question most guys have. That's a good question. This is why we have these videos. Okay, we're talking as men and we're in this cave. The sexual energy in the earth is very high. And it's so bad now that it has also got the women. So we're at a place now in human history where a lot of women are just as sexually deviant as men. Are you following me? And so that's when you know things are bad. You can always test the moral fiber or the moral heartbeat of a nation, of a world, by its women. So the way that women are acting now is a clear sign of how bad it is out here. Because the women are normally the ones who are, somebody said, DoorDash, listen to this great talk. There you go, man. Get your money, bro. Get out there and dash. Ain't no wrong dashing. Go and get the money. You know what I mean? So, you know, women are normally more moral than men in this aspect. You follow me? Women are not as driven visually as men are. So sometimes they have the moral compass that guys don't have. But we're getting to a place now where women are losing that. And some of them, not all, some of them are getting just as bad as the men. And so that's a very bad thing. That tells you, from now we're going to a spiritual warfare perspective now. Let me switch gears to spiritual warfare in the spirit realm. That tells you that Satan and demons have launched such an attack against humanity. And I see it now, in my opinion, there is an all-out war in the spirit realm. We talk about spiritual warfare and the armor of God and demons and angels. It's an all-out brawl right now. If you got any discernment, it's a war. And this is one reason, guys, why I'm getting more active. I feel God like pulling me towards you guys to talk more. I feel that pull. I felt that push in my spirit. Whenever I feel that push from God, I do it. And I was kind of like laid back doing the cameraless videos for a while, kind of just doing some other things. And I felt God like pushing me out there. Like, come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. Let's go. Why? There's a war going on, guys. I'm not on camera talking to you guys, wasting my time or wasting your time. I know what's happening. We are in a war. And in sexual sin, when that controls you guys, that has the power to mess your whole life up. If you're consistently, you know, fapping, you know what I mean, committing sexual sin, you know what I mean, some of you guys dipping off with women, you know what I mean, you got multiple girls, you got four or five, some of you guys got four or five girls in your rotation, you know, tell them the truth. Player, talking to you. That's messing you up. And that right there is keeping you from being the best man you can be. When I get an urge to relapse, I imagine God looking at me in anger and I snap back to reality. That's a good one. That's a good one. So the brother said that when he thinks about relapsing, he imagines God watching him. You know what's interesting? You say that, guys. Little do you know. Let me give you a little church history real quick. You know, I'm a Bible man, right? Church history. True story. During the Great Awakening revivals in America, there was a revival called the Great Awakening. And one of the marks of that awakening is that people began to have this newfound God consciousness, right? What does that mean? Simply put, they got to a point where they became increasingly aware. Follow me, guys. Of the reality of God. And it was like in their mind in a new way now, like, oh my goodness, this divine being is actually real and watching me. So what that man just said to you just now, that's a sign of revival. When you become aware that, you know what, God is watching me. This ain't cool. And that right there, what he just got through saying, that was one of the things, among others, that helped me with that 8-year streak. Is I became aware before God, this is wrong. I should not be doing this. This is not normal. Sitting around fapping every day in your own seat, that's off, guys. I'm not going to try to use any words to be condescending or funny. That's weird. When you really think about it. Well, I'm not trying to call you weird, but that is weird. And when you begin to see it that way, that's when change happens. As long as it's just something normal that guys do, you never will change. But we get to a place where you think, you know what, man, this ain't cool. You know what I mean? This ain't cool, man. This ain't right. You know, I was not made by the Most High to do this. This is off. And that type of thinking is instrumental in you beginning to change. You guys follow? So that's one thing. So doing that 2 years in prison from 20 to 22, I was reading a lot. I worked out. Once I was released, what kept me on that streak is that I got right around other men who mentored me. So I had mentors. So let me put that in this talk. If you are a young man in your 20s, you should most certainly have a mentor. Okay? I had mentors, plural, all of my 20s. No exaggeration. All my 20s, I had mentors, several. And a lot of you guys were older than me. They were, what's interesting about this, a lot of people think I've been to the military. I've never been to the military, but I have a military vibe because a lot of my mentors are military men. I can name about four or five of them. A man named Kermit Hagerman, Jeffrey Bowers, Ed Schumberger, Irvin McNeil. Two black men and two white men. Those are some of the guys who really mentored me during those early years of my 20s. And they were all military veterans. In fact, I think all, not all of them, I think three of them fought in the Vietnam War. And one was in, I think Schumberger was in, I want to say the Navy. It was either Navy or the Air Force, can't remember now. But all four of these guys, they went to war. You know, and they got into the Bible. So they were military men and also Bible men. And I learned so much from these men. You know, so this is why I say over and over again that iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron means in one case that men build men. And so I would not be who I am today had it not been for a lot of men who helped me. You know, when I get online, I'm able to give these talks and talk for 2 hours, 3 hours and study. That's because a lot of guys poured a lot of wisdom into me. And in my 20s, I asked a lot of questions. I was not a know-it-all 20-some-year-old guy. I was not that guy. Some of you guys got that problem. That was not me. In my 20s, I was a sponge. I asked questions all the time. I had mentors. I met with them once a week. I took notes. And I learned a lot about, you know, time management, about work. One of my mentors taught me, if you're on time, you're late. So at work, if I'm working somewhere, I'm early. I don't show up on time. Showing up on time means you're late, by the way. That's military talk. And my mentor taught me that. You know, they taught me about, you know, your posture, how to walk into a room, how to shake a man's hand, how to tie a tie. I got taught all that stuff, guys. I got taught all that stuff, how to tie a tie, how to walk into a room, how to talk to other men. You have to be taught that, okay? You don't become a man by mistake. People teach you how to be a man. You learn how to be a man from other men, you know? And so, what's that do with this talk? Having mentors and having older men hold you accountable is essential to a young man's growth. Let me say that again. Having older men, and I'm not saying they gotta be 60 years old, but 35 plus, 35, 40, 45, that's helpful for a young man to have a guy who has lived throughout 1830. So you got a guy who's lived 1834 and now they're 35, 40, 45, 50 years old. They've lived all those years. And if they did it right, they can now give you some experience on what you can do or some knowledge from their personal experience. So having mentors taught me a lot about dress code, body language, you know what I mean? Just the basics, how to tie a tie, how to polish your shoes. Yeah, I had to be taught all that, you know what I mean? The importance of keeping your haircut. I got braids now and longer hair, but at that point I was clean cut. I was in barbershop every 2 weeks. I was very military-like, clean shaven. You know, so for years people thought I was a police officer. I used to always get accused of being a police officer when I was in my 20s. Because just imagine young Iron in my 20s, just like this, no beard, clean shave. And I was real serious, always looking like this. This is me in my 20s. I mean, if you're trying to wonder the type of guy I was in my 20s during this time, I was very serious. I'm more relaxed now in my 30s than I was in my 20s. And so I was very serious, militant, I would say, to a degree. Yeah, somebody said militant spirit. I was very militant. I was very militant. Still militant now, to be honest. I can't lie. I'm still militant. Even though I have a personality and a laugh and joke, I'm still militant, man. It's just the way I'm wired. There's nothing wrong with being a person being a comedian or laughing and joking. We all have different personalities. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying how I am. I'm not saying you got to be me. I'm just me. So I'm a militant guy. Very serious, very earnest, sincere. I'm a 10 toes down type of guy. So whatever I do, I'm going to do it right. You know, I'm going to take it serious. Do you think that was due to being on retention before being with your wife? Having a wife and children brought out a new love of my manhood. So I would say right now, having a wife and three children to take care of is a pressure and burden that you can't imagine when you're single. There are some guys who think having a wife and kids will make you weak. That's a man who doesn't have wife and kids. Because when you have a wife and kids, if you're a spiritual guy, you understand your responsibility before God. You're the leader of that family. The decisions you make now impact four or five different people. So being a father and a husband is the most pressure I've ever been under. This has been harder than being on retention, in my humble opinion. So if we were to put on a scale, what was harder for Iron Soul? The 8 years of being celibate and single, or close to 10 years of being married with kids? This is more difficult. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Enjoyable, by the way. Rewarding. I love it. I recommend it. Matter of fact, I ordered a hat online today on my phone. This is called Dad Gang. I can't wait to put this on live. I'm wearing it every live after this, to be honest. Why? I'm proud of being a father. I'm proud of having kids. I'm proud of having a wife. That's normal. That's healthy. So we don't want to get to a place. I'm glad you brought that up, by the way, too. I'm glad you brought that up. Guys, we don't want to get to a place in this community where we begin to demonize being a husband and a father. The purpose of retention is not to make you celibate your whole life. That's not the point. You do it for a season, for a period of time, for a reason. Okay? You stay single and celibate while you're single. Once you get married and get kids, that's normal. Nothing wrong with that. You're supposed to do that. That's how the Bible says to be fruitful and multiply. Okay? And what we need in these last days, more than anything, we need fathers. That's a whole other 2-3 hour live, to be honest. I might do a live on that one day. You guys comment below if you want me to do a live on fatherhood. Now, some of you guys don't want to hear that because it's okay. I ain't trying to hear all that. We should hear that because one of the reasons we are in the condition we are right now as a nation, as a world, is that we have so vilified and demonized the role of a father. I'm over 6 months right now. My goal is to get to 8 years. You can do it. Go as long as you can, brother. I mean, it's very possible. You know, the Bible says all things possible to those who believe. You know, so man, go for it, man. You know, and even when I did that, that wasn't my goal. You know, like I said, at that time, I didn't even know what retention was. I was just being celibate because I believed in God and the Bible. So I wasn't doing any things I was supposed to do. That's all it was. I wasn't counting days, to be honest. If you want my history, I wasn't counting days. I didn't think, oh, I'm on year 3 now, I'm on year 4 or 5. I just lived it. I just did it. You know what I mean? So I encourage you guys who want to do a long streak, don't get caught up in days. Because that can sometimes be a distraction. Over time, progressively make it a way of life. That's what I believe you should do. Make it a way of life. Make it something that you eventually you're not even thinking about anymore. It's just what you do. And that's when you know you're at a new level. Somebody says it's got to be a lifestyle. Totally agree. Yeah, definitely. So, man, keep it there as a lifestyle, man. And in that way, you know, it's something you don't even think about. It's just part of who you are. It comes like brushing your teeth and washing your clothes and eating food. It's just part of your lifestyle. So moving along, you know, from 22, 23, I had mentors who helped me out in the process. Many men are afraid of marriage due to court systems. Okay, I understand that. A lot of guys are afraid of marriage due to the court system and the favor, being in the favor of the women. And that is true. You know, so I would definitely recommend be careful with that. Be crystal clear that this is a woman who you fully trust. If you have any doubt, do not get married. I will say that to you. Because there's a lot of good women out here, and there's a lot of bad ones. Okay, so be careful. So post my mentors for a couple of years, I then made the decision to go off to Christian college. That was the next step in my growth. And I was there from 24 to 28. You follow me? I'm going through the whole process. So in the next part of this process was now my formal education. So now at 24, I'm around Bible professors, pastors, young Christian women, young white women, young Hispanic women. This is college. So it's a lot of young, pretty, beautiful women in this environment. You follow me? I'm painting a picture. I'm in school now. Aaron, did you really go 8 years straight? That's a question a lot of you guys have asked me. And I'm an honest man. If I didn't, I wouldn't be online to talk to you about this. If that was not the case, I would not have written it in my book, Becoming Strong as Iron. By the way, let me plug the book real quick since you asked the question. I have a book entitled Becoming Strong as Iron on my website, theironandsoul.com, where you can order my book and also book a consultation. And in that book, it's about 66 pages ebook. I discuss in detail my 8-year streak. So it's in my book and it's also in this talk. And when you guys ask me that question, you know, at first I'm offended because like, okay, why would I lie about something like that? But it makes me, I can only draw a few conclusions. is either you feel that, you know what, I'm not as successful as you think I should be for a man who claims to have an 8-year streak. That's one perspective. And I would teach that success is not always measured in status and monetary gain. Success is also measured in the value add to lives of others. So, sir, if you check my history, respectfully, I have been adding value to lives of men since August of 2012. That will be a total of 12 years this August. So for 12 solid years, I have been mentoring, teaching, encouraging, motivating men worldwide. So success has been measured in my value of giving to other men, which have been thousands by this number at this point. Thousands of men, which include thousands of family, thousands of women, and even more children that have been indirectly or directly impacted by my work. That's one credential. But to answer your question on a simplistic level, yes, I was a celibate man from 20 to 28. Why is it so hard to believe? It tells me it's hard to believe because the moral fiber is so low in today's culture. There was a time in human history where that was the norm. It was the norm for a man to be celibate until he met his wife. You know, the content has been great to me, honestly. So, you know, I'm not sure. Yeah, I think that's such a struggle now because people just don't do this. You know, and I can see why a guy would wrestle with that, because you think, okay, did this guy really do 8 years? I can't do 8 months. Okay, we got guys right now. I had a guy messing me one time. This is not talking about the guy, by the way. He messaged, he said, brother, I can't go a week. You know what I mean? And that's something that concerns me. That concerns me, really. Thank you. Appreciate that, Nicholas. Thank you for that, sir. That concerns me. That a guy could not go a whole week without releasing the seed. That means that you are at a level where you are so depraved spiritually, mentally, and you have lost complete control over that territory. Think of it as a war. You know, we are, as men, we are at war with ourselves. And we're trying to conquer territory. And so when you begin to retain and get on these streaks, you're regaining territory. I want you to begin to look at it that way. You're regaining the territory that you lost with those hours you wasted on websites, porn addiction, all of that. Yeah, thanks for the Nicholas. By the way, hit the like button, guys. It's 130 of y'all here, 68 likes. Hit the like button so we get this video going. It's almost 140 of y'all here. Hit that like button right now. That's free to do that. 1 second. Ah, just like that. Hit it twice. Ah, ah. Hit the like button. Get them likes up. Come on, let's go. Show me your support or not a closet enemy. So, you know, regain. A part of growth and development and spirituality is regaining lost territory. You follow me? So if you lost this territory, it's now your time to get that back. You follow? And each day on a streak, each day you're going forward in this journey, you're regaining the territory that has been lost. And so that's one way of looking at that. But to answer your question, yes, from 20 to 28 years of age, I was on a streak of NoFap, aka seed retention, monk mode. And part of that, for those who came to the video, I had no social media. I was not on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, none of that. I wasn't on my phone all day scrolling, looking at women. Because if you're doing that, it's going to be impossible to go 8 weeks, no, long 8 years. If you're doing that, you're going to have a hard time accumulating an 8-week streak. Now, for you guys who have not done that before, you're not by yourself. Unfortunately, and I've done some research. Excuse me. Appreciate that. So, you know, the truth is, guys, and I can see why a guy would struggle with this. Most guys right now, and I'm not sure how this man came to this conclusion from his own research. He's done some study and research and data. Most men lose their seed around that day 14 to day 21. It's over. So this is why I did that video. Remember I did a video maybe a year ago where I said most guys can't go 3 weeks? That's the truth. Most guys are struggling. If you look at manhood right now, most guys struggle to hold their seed for 3 weeks. Never alone 3 months. So let me now put some teeth in this talk. We're not just talking here. We're not just talking here. Let me put some teeth into this. I want to challenge you guys right now to go 3 weeks. Put skin in the game. You know, don't sit here and listen to this hour talk. Do nothing with it. I want you to sit here and, man, this is good talk, Brother Iron. Appreciate it. No, forget all that. Do something with this. Listen, I'm going to get more direct. Let me look right at you. Do something. Let me get serious. Get on 3 week streak. Stop making excuses. If you got to delete Instagram, delete the app. Delete Facebook. Delete Twitter. Whatever you got to do. Discipline yourself. Tell yourself right now, I'm holding on to my seed for the next 21 days. 3 weeks. And I guarantee you, your mind will be sharper. You will have more energy. You will feel better about yourself. You will walk different. You understand? You're going to be, the urges get stronger on day 30. Yeah. Sometime day 28, 29. I had a guy say he was on day 28 relapsed. Right there. The urges always get strong, guys, when you're trying to turn a corner. That's how you know this is a real war. I'm glad he said that. When you're trying to turn that corner and go to the next level, that demon is right there trying to stop you. You're trying to go up, and right there is that lust spirit, that incubus spirit, that succubus spirit. That's real, by the way. The incubus, succubus spirit, that is all very real. And those demons are right there trying to stop you from achieving a quality long-term streak that can transform you forever. So back to the topic at hand. How did I do this? So we're now at age 24, 28. We're now talking about year 4 to year 8. We talked about the first 4 years in this first hour. We're now talking about 24, 28. And I would have to say during that time, very productive. Productivity, I had an insane schedule. Let me break down my schedule at that time for about 4 years. I was going to school from 8 to 12. I was working in an apprentice shop from 1 to 9. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I had basketball practice from 7 to 9 p.m. So literally from like 8 a.m. to 9 every day, I was busy. Wednesday night, I had youth groups. I met with the teenage kids, the junior high school kids on Wednesday nights. Friday night, I was working in an addiction program, helping people get off drugs. Sunday morning, I was in the choir. Are you following me? Sunday afternoon, I was playing basketball with kids from the detention center. You follow my logic here? Brother, I was running. I was running. School 8 to 12. Work 1 to 9. Basketball practice. So picture young Iron. Picture young Iron. In school, bam. 8 to 12. Studying, learning, reading, reflecting. Leave school, boom. Go put my jeans on. I'm in a print shop on a cut machine. Boom. Cutting paper for 7 hours. Boom. Same job, cut machine, two clamps, boom, right? Leave that, put the shorts on, I'm on the court playing basketball. Am I painting a picture for you? I want you to get this, don't forget this, right? So I'm in school 8 to 12, eat a little lunch, shoot over to the dorm, change clothes, I'm in a print shop now. Because if you're a young man, you got to stay busy. When you are a young man and you're healthy and full of testosterone like I was, playing basketball, working on them hours, studying on them hours, you got to stay busy. An idle mind is the devil's play shop. Mark my word, playground, play shop, playground, whatever word you want to use, okay? You got to keep yourself busy. If you are the worst thing a young man can do for himself is have a lot of free time. Because when you have too much time on your hand, now you're scrolling on your phone, now you're looking at cheeks, now you're releasing your seed, now you're back to day one. If you want to succeed, especially when you're young, doing those high sexual energy years in your 20s, when your testosterone is just booming, you better stay busy. So for me, it was my study, work, and recreation. So I guess we call those three W's. I'm teaching now. Worship, work, well, that's an R, recreation. I can't spell right now. 3 degrees, can't spell recreation. But anyway, worship, studying, work, and recreation. And so in other words, as one man told me, you got to play hard and you have to also work hard. That's what helped me. Working hard and playing hard. Working hard in the print shop, in school, all those other activities, and at the same time playing hard, enjoying my life as a young man, playing basketball. That was instrumental for me. I played basketball for about Division II for 4 years. And Somebody says spelled with a R. It is spelled recreation. Thank you for giving me that from Canada. Appreciate it. I'm glad you're as a man not spelled recreation. So during those 4 years of playing basketball, traveling from Indiana to Chicago to Florida, Washington, D.C., having a life and seeing things get done. It felt good to look at a report card and see an A on it, to see a B, to finish a paper. I had to go home and study right now, read this book, and after a couple of weeks, write a 10, 15 page paper, right? Having responsibility. And so that consistent pressure that was placed on me as a young man to produce, right? A part of manhood is production, producing. So I was constantly pressured to produce and to get things done. I was challenged to be on time for school, to work in that print shop, to pay for my school bill. So I was constantly doing the right thing. So let me ask you a question. You guys are pretty smart, right? How much time do you have for corn addiction with a schedule like that? Since you guys, some of you guys didn't know so much. For all the wise guys in the comment section, how much time do you have for corn addiction? You can't hold on for 4 weeks if you're doing that. Thank you, Preston. None. So bottom line, you guys coming, right? Come on, I'm coming right. I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you. You want to challenge me? I'm coming for you. Busy. Ain't no games being played. You cannot tell me if you get up, brother, and you are busy from 8 to 9 every single day, you're not going to be fapping. Bottom line. You're not going to be fapping knowing doggone well. You got to be up the next morning at 8 o'clock. You got to go to basketball practice. You got to work in a print shop, working hard labor, sweating, you understand, with jeans on, cutting paper for 5 hours. You did. And then you got to leave there and then go to, you understand, to go home, do homework now for school. What time was there for me to do bad things? Let me ask you a question. What time was there? And I'm asking you a question, guys. I'm asking you a question, sir. What time did I have from 24 to 28 to do bad things? So I say from firsthand personal experience, the key to a, I'm jeans on in the shop, cutting paper, grinding. The key to a young man having a successful streak, one of them is you got to be busy. Productivity. Men, we were made to produce. That's simple. And when you're not being productive, you're not doing the right thing. You're not studying. You're not working. You're not working out. So how do you do this? This ain't rocket science, guys. Get your butt in that gym. I'm going to talk to you. Get in that gym. This is I talk to you. Get your butt in the gym. Get strong. Get tough. Huh? Go to that gym. Go crack a book. Get you a job. Get you two of them if you have to. Read, pray, reflect. You got the answers. You know what to do. You got to do it. You say, I can't control myself. Get off that phone. I think I'm going to create me a soundbite and give it to you. I'm going to create a soundbite and put it on your phone. It's going to be Iron saying, get off that phone. I want you to screenshot this and put it on your phone to remember this. Get off that phone. Get off that phone. Picture that when you finish start scrolling. I want you to see that face. Get off that phone. How bad do you want it? This ain't rocket science. Discipline yourself. Get into that gym. Eat better. Pray. Take some cold showers. Have a goal. How bad do you want this? Is that simple? How bad do you want it? You see, Kobe Bryant wanted so bad to be a great athlete that he got up every morning at 3 a.m. He was at the gym by 4. So he didn't get up at 4. He was up by 3. That's how bad he wanted it. So my question is, the goals you have, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want that job? How bad do you want that car? How bad do you want your business to grow? How bad do you want that physique you see online? You see all these guys on Instagram looking like soldiers and you not. How bad do you want it? You understand? Do you want that job? Do you want that quality woman? That's all I'm going to talk to you. Because if you want that quality woman, you got to be quality. Bottom line, a quality woman wants a quality man. So all of these are the questions. What am I really saying now? How big is your why? What is your why? Because if you don't know your why, you're not going to do retention. If your why is not big enough, you're not going to do this. I can sit here and talk to him, blue, and if I could talk for 5 hours straight, you wouldn't do it. That simple. How bad do you want it? Bad enough to go on social media fast? I'm going to talk to you now. Bad enough to go on social media fast for 3 months? Bad enough to fast once a week? I'm throwing stuff out there for you. These are all things I did, by the way. Bad enough to be celibate for a number of years? How bad do you want it? Bad enough to get your butt up and get in that gym 4 to 5 times a week? No excuses. Back sore, arm sore. You still in the gym? Bad enough to get up early between, let's just say, 4 and 7 a.m.? That's early. 8 ain't early. I'm sorry. 8 a.m. is not early, in my opinion. You should be up at 8. Bad enough to be up between 4 and 7 a.m.? That's how bad you want it. Do you want it bad enough to get up early? To fast from social media for a period of time? Do you want it bad enough to work hard for it? Guys, you know, you can retain all you want to, but you got to do the work. Retention is not going to make you successful by itself. Some of you guys got that in your head. Some thought in your mind is telling you that. I don't know what it is, but some thought in your mind is telling you that if you do this, you'll just automatically become successful. No, you won't. Retention is not magic. You still got to read. You have to do the work. In other words, I had to get up and go to school every day. We're a certain town. It was a very strict school. At a certain town in school, 8 o'clock in the morning. Here I am, 24, in school with a certain town every day. Leaving, going home, switching clothes to regular clothes to go work in a print shop, leaving a print shop, go to basketball practice. Grinding. That's how bad I wanted it. So I'm not gonna lie, calling myself Iron and Soul, just pulling this on my backside. I earned that title, Big Iron. Big Iron on deck. Big Iron talking to you. Huh? I earned that title. Fighting. I'm gonna get aggressive now. I've been fighting for my life, brother. You hear me? I've been fighting since I was a 17-year-old born in West Side Chicago. You dig? This ain't no game. I'm not online playing with you guys live, man. This is real life, man. This ain't no joke. Let me talk to you. I don't waste my time doing these videos, man, to play with nobody's life. This is real, bro. This is your life. This is my life. This is my real life I'm talking about. This ain't no movie on no TV screen. This ain't no show. This is my real life. So when I call myself Iron and Soul, I mean that. Iron and Soul is extreme mental anguish. It is pain turned into power. You dig? It is pain pushing out power, growth, development, strength, integrity. You understand? Masculinity. Being assertive, being strong, being a leader. That's what this is all about. And all of this happens when you can discipline yourself in the area of your sexual life. So important. And after me saying all of that, some of you guys are still going to continue to relapse. And that's not me speaking a curse over you. I'm just saying some guys just don't want to do this. You don't take it serious enough. So you rather scoff, crack jokes, you know, think this is weird. I had one guy recently tell me in the comment section, this is weird. What is weird, sir? Let me talk to you. What's weird, sir, about teaching men to control themselves? Explain to me as a man how it's weird to teach other men to control themselves. How is that weird? How is it weird to teach men to practice something that was practiced by Muhammad Ali? How is it weird to teach men to practice something? I'm going to talk to you now. That was practiced by, you didn't make me mad now. That was practiced by Bruce Lee. Huh? Nikola Tesla. Steve Jobs. I'm going to name some heavy hitters now. LeBron James. Huh? Prince. Anthony Joshua. Andre 3000. We can go on and on and on. Rappers, ball players, businessmen, Christian men. We take it back to the Bible days. You understand? Joseph, K. King David, Moses. Were they weird? Was Moses weird? Was King David weird? Huh? I'm talking to you, sir. Was Joseph weird? How about Mike Tyson? Muhammad Ali? Prince? LeBron James, when he won the championship a few years ago. Was that weird? No, it wasn't. Guys, Nipsey Hussle, by the way. Nipsey said in an interview, he read a book called The Way of Superior Man. He understood he was fighting for his life. And he understood, this is Nipsey saying, rest in peace of Nipsey, by the way. The marathon still continuing. Ah, we continuing it for him. You did, the long way. Nipsey Hussle said in one of his interviews, he was reading the book, The Way of the Superior Man. Huh? And in that interview, he said that he understood that boxers will sometimes refrain from sex for a period of time to train for a championship fight. And Nipsey said this, I feel like I am in a title championship type fight for my life right now. And right now I'm not indulging. Nipsey said that. Huh? So was Nipsey weird? I think you wouldn't say that. Malcolm X, appreciate this, Sam Fisher. Sam Fisher, you have been helping me a lot these past few months. 35 Day Street, person at 45. Appreciate that. Thank you for that. You know, so guys, respectfully, what else do you want me to say? What else do you want me to say? I have given you videos on this topic consistently for over 3 years. We have talked about LeBron. We talked about Prince. We talked about Nikola Tesla, David Haye, Bible characters, my own personal experience, other people who are on YouTube have said this. By the way, you know there are thousands of videos out there right now about this. You know I know that. You know, and that's something that has concerned me. I have to be honest about this. Something that has concerned me about the community. Let me share my heart for a second here now. I am concerned with the nature of some men. Let me say this calmly now. To take this discipline and this practice, and they have made it a business. Some guys are taking this whole topic of retention, nofap, and they see it as nothing more as an opportunist to come in, steal content, because a lot of you guys steal content too, by the way. You come online, you devour content, you go hide behind your camera and talk about it like it's your idea, and this happens all the time, right? So we have men who have taken this content, years of study and work, and they're now devouring content for the purpose of building this little retention empire. You got guys online calling themselves retention coaches, all type of stuff. And so that has concerned me because to me, there was a pure vibe. This is my opinion now. There was a pure vibe about the whole retention community back in 2020, in my opinion. 3 years ago, 2020, it was a different vibe. During the lockdowns, people were more pure. They were more focused on this because they were locked down, because there was less money and whatnot. And it seems like once some of that stuff changed, people started changing. And they started seeing it as an opportunity to build an empire as opposed to build up other men. The purpose of Iron and Soul is to build other men, to encourage, to edify, to build up, to give mutual support, and to challenge guys to go forward. So let me read some of these comments. Some guys say they quit smoking weed. That's good. Haven't smoked for almost a month now. I encourage you to do that. That's a good decision to make. Quit grin and alcohol. Haven't done any of those things. So I'm glad you're doing that. He said, yeah, now people are doing it as a bait to lure people into their channels. I do believe that. Some people are. Some guys are. It concerns me. It gives a weird vibe to the whole community, to be honest. Got you. Well, men, I'm out of time. We are right now at an hour to about 15 minutes. I will do this time now before I close this live. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'll give you some time to ask a few questions. So, and if you guys have some questions for me before I close, this will be your opportunity to do so. I'll give you a few minutes to think about that, and then I'll close this live. Sam, thank you for that, brother. Another Christian YouTuber said something very impactful. God's not your sugar daddy. I agree with that. Exactly. We don't use God just for what we want. He's our Father. I'm glad you got back into addressing this issue. Definitely appreciate it, bro. Appreciate that, brother. Thank you. I think it's needed in these last days. I see you guys are struggling. How to stop idolizing women. How to meditate on God's word. Okay, you guys got some good questions. Those are good. Okay, I got to work now. Okay. All right, hold on, guys. I can't keep up with you guys now. Okay. All right, what do you do struggle with? All right, what do you struggle with, brother? Okay, three questions. So, first question he asks is, how do you stop idolizing women? Good question. I believe the nature of social media now, the internet, is to make not just men, but also women idolize and worship the woman body. This is what is happening to the culture through social programming, through social media. So I do believe that our phones are creating a idol. I've said this too, by the way, of the woman's body and the hearts of men and women. So I guess to stop that, you have to stop looking at it so much. That's simple. If you want to idolize the right thing, you have to put your eyes on the right thing. So for example, the second question this guy gave me was, how do you meditate in the Bible? So in other words, you have to now take that energy you're giving to those women and give the energy to something positive. We have energy as men. So if we give our energy to that, if we give our time to that, it's going to control us. But if we get away from that and give our time, right, our time and energy to other things, then that will shift the focus of our hearts. Because what happens is, when you focus on women, it turns your heart from God. The Bible says it this way. King Solomon had 1,000 women. And the Bible says that those women turned his heart from God. You follow? So if you're consistently consumed with the woman's body and their beauty and how good they look, and to a degree, that's normal and healthy as a man. Let's be honest about that. We're all guys here. I'm not going to be weird about this. We're men. You should be attracted to a woman. That's healthy. That's normal. But what happens is we take that healthy, normal attraction and we take it to an extreme. You follow me? So I'm not the guy here saying, oh, you shouldn't care about women. That's weird, too. You can care about women. You can have a healthy relationship with a woman. Matter of fact, I think most of you guys should have a girlfriend, to be honest, and have a healthy, normal relationship. That's normal. I preach that. But what we got to avoid is obsession and making that woman an idol versus God in your goals and your future. That's the way I'm going to answer that question. Hopefully that helped out. The second question was, how do you meditate in the Bible? Time. So I would say get a timer, sit down for about a half an hour, and study. Now, I guess the bigger question is, how do you study the Bible? That's a very complex answer. Now we're talking about hermeneutics, which is the principle of Bible interpretation, Hermeneutics, how to study the Bible. What I suggest for a person trying to learn the beginning is to read through the book of John, which is 21 chapters over the course of 21 days, then eventually go to Proverbs. I would suggest you get a study Bible. That can be helpful as well. We have notes and commentary that can help you, give you some assistance. Take notes on sermons you hear. These were all the various principles that helped me. So note-taking from sermons, sitting down and just reading the Bible, whether you understand it or not, just simply reading is helpful. And to meditate means to think about it. So when you read something, take some time to pause and to think about what you're reading and to reflect. And when you do that, we call that prayer, meditation, and illumination. So you pray, you read the scriptures, you meditate, and then the Spirit of God gives you illumination to your mind. It illuminates or opens your eyes. So prayer, meditation, and illumination. So good books. Study Bibles, I would recommend the Life Application Study Bible if you want a recommendation for that. Get you about 5 books. You need a study Bible, okay? You need a Bible dictionary, right? Because the Hebrew is the Old Testament, the New Testament is Greek. So you need to have both to understand. So get a dictionary that can help you understand what those words actually mean in a Hebrew and Greek. I'm not saying you got to be a Hebrew or Greek scholar because I'm not a Hebrew or Greek scholar. But understanding some of that can be helpful in understanding interpretation. So you need a study Bible, a Bible dictionary. You need a concordance. What a concordance does is it gives you every time a particular word is used in the Bible. So for example, if you look up the word rich, a concordance will show you every time that word is used in the Bible. And you can read all those verses and it'll give you understanding of what that means. That's the third book. I would say the fourth would be church history. It's important to understand the history of the church if you want to understand what's going on in the church right now. If you don't know the history of anything, it's going to be hard to follow it. So church history would be the fourth book. And number five, I would say customs and manners of the Bible. Custom and manners essentially means how people lived or lifestyle. When you understand their lifestyle and what was important to them, a few thousand years ago, then that will help you to understand the Bible. So there you go. Five books, study Bible, concordance, customs and manners, church history, and also a Bible dictionary that can be helpful in your study of scriptures. Good questions. Any more questions? You guys getting quiet now. I'm ready for you today. I told you I got time. I'm ready for you. Any more questions? For you guys who have not read my book, I suggest read that book. It's about 75 pages. It's a short read. Go get it. It's not going to break your pocketbook. It's $4.99, so I made it cheap for a reason, so you can read it. I made it accessible. So go to my website, read that book, and that gives a little more insight into what I'm talking about here today. So if you want more, if this hour and a half life's not enough for you, I would suggest get my book too. How to recover fast from a relapse. That varies because it depends on how long you're on a streak for one, how bad the relapse was. Was it, that type of deal, So it depends on how long for one. Relapse is going to happen from time to time, unless you, granted you, most guys are not going to have a perfect streak for 5-10 years, to be honest. So it will happen. I would say your supplements after that, in terms of from a health perspective, getting your zinc. You lose a lot of zinc when you lose your seed. Vitamin C, get your vitamins in, creatine, protein, all the different supplements you use for weight, working out and whatnot. Water intake can be helpful. And I will say at that point, definitely be very careful with your phone. You may need to go on a social media fast for a period of time after that to make sure this does not become a way of life. So I would say your diet as well as working out and basically getting back into the disciplines that we have outlined in this hour talk. That's serious. That's simple. Go back to what we talked about, the disciplines, cold showers, working out, reading, productivity, and basically making a decision to be conscious of what you let go through your eye gates. Be helpful. Somebody said you got to be careful late nights. Yep. Early mornings too. Do you think it is wise to be with a very attractive woman? Yeah, why not? what you mean? Yeah. I mean, if you're afraid another guy's going to take her from you, that's on you. But if a very attractive woman finds you attractive and y'all connect, consider yourself blessed. I don't know how to answer that. If you're talking about a vain woman, then that's one thing. If a woman is vain, you dig what I'm saying, and she likes the attention of other guys, then no. You know what I mean? You got a woman online, she got 20,000 followers, and all you guys commenting. That's one thing. You know what I mean? But if you have a very beautiful woman and she's into you, then you're blessed. That's that simple. Somebody said, do you still do music? Yes, I still do music. I'm taking my time. I'm trying to develop some stuff right now. I'm working hard. And so I personally believe I have a talent and a gift with that. So I'm going to take my time and do it right. No doubt. How do we identify the root cause of fapping? Well, the root cause can be different for different people. The root cause for you may not be the root cause of the next person. The root cause for one person may be a curse. The root cause for another person may be they were sexually abused as a boy. The root cause of another person may be they have a porn addiction. And so there could be a number of things. And so I guess the question would be, how do you examine your heart? And there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. So what that means is that sometimes we have to ask God to search us and to reveal to us what's really going on with us. And that can happen through a number of things. Through reading the scriptures, the Bible reveals the secrets of man's hearts according to scripture. So the word of God will reveal the secrets of what your heart is. I would say, in addition to that, God speaks through dreams and visions. So sometimes you'll have a dream, you'll have a vision. This has been my experience. When God reveals some deep things to you about yourself, he will use other people. Sometimes he will use your family, your spouse, if you're married, a close friend, to give some insight into something you don't want to see. So he'll use people. He'll use dreams and visions. At times, it's your study of the scriptures that will reveal that, you know, and this is also why we have mentors. Back to that initial statement earlier, you need a mentor. You need a counselor that was going to help you week by week dig into what's actually going on with you. And that's what I had from like 20 to like 23. I had men who were forcing me to ask some uncomfortable questions about myself, you know, and that really helped me out. So part of that is asking yourself uncomfortable questions and at times being open to criticism, constructive criticism, critiques, and that can all be helpful. So good question. With you being self-employed, what does a day in the life of your schedule look like? It varies. Self-employment can be, you know, one day you may work 4 or 5 hours, the next day you may work 10 or 15. So self-employment is difficult. And for those who think it may be easier than having a job, it's not. You have to be your own boss, which means you have to be disciplined. You have to raise early sometimes. Sometimes you have to work late. So it varies. You know what I mean, I think I have to create a structure for myself of certain things I like to accomplish in order to feel good about myself. And when you have that, without a vision, people perish, the Bible says. So you got to have something to look forward to. So create some goals for yourself. I have a structure, certain things I got to do every day. Like, and consistently, someone asks me how often do I work out. I try to get to the gym at least 3 or 4 times a week. That's helpful. I have reading goals. I have financial goals. I keep task lists and things need to get done. And I'm also a husband and father. It's not just about work. I got 3 babies. So I got kids. A big part of my life is being a father and being a husband, having a wife as well. How do you balance living righteous with a relationship with a woman? Having a woman is righteous. There's nothing unrighteous about having a woman. The scripture is clear on that. He who has a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You see? So that's a good question, but I think it's a misconception with some guys. Some guys think that a woman is going to take their life. That's not so. Stop. I don't want you guys thinking that way. A woman, a quality woman, adds value to your life. She's going to assist you. She's going to help you. So I encourage you guys to see it for what it is. Having a helpmeet, so she's referred to from a very foundational biblical perspective, the woman was designed and built by God to help the man. So my woman, my wife, she helps me do what I'm supposed to do. So it's extremely helpful. So yes, that helps me be righteous because your woman also is your eyes. She's going to be accountability, right? Sometimes men call the woman their angel. That's true. What do angels do? Among other activities, angels are referred to as the watchers. So when you have a woman, she is watching you. She's going to hold you accountable. She's going to know when your energy is off. You may fool other people, but you won't fool your woman. So a woman, Sam, thanks for that, man. Appreciate it, brother. Important note, I think a lot of guys actually have a form of corn-induced ADHD. So, you know, guys, a woman brings value to your life if she's a good woman. Don't think that having a wife or a girlfriend is going to make you this bad person. I think sometimes some guys in the community confuse that for some reason. So don't confuse that. You know, a woman, a quality woman. Now, we're not talking about a bad woman. We see, and this is why, and that's a good question too, by the way. This is why there is so much content online about female nature, because it's very complex. There is no one way to talk about that. And so that conversation, understanding has to be developed over time. And this is why Kevin Samuels, rest in peace, had so many lives for hours breaking this stuff down. Because he, as an older man, understood how complex relationships are between a man and a woman, females, marriage, the black community, the workforce. He understood all of that. And so he would sit down for hours and teach on that. And so that's a very complex question. I'm giving you a simple answer, but the simple answer is a righteous woman will help you be a righteous man, but a wicked woman will make you a wicked man. One of the worst decisions Ahab made was marrying Jezebel, right? And one of the best decisions that Isaac made was marrying Rebekah, because the Bible says by Isaac marrying Rebekah, he prospered. That's the first time, notice this, the first time that the word prosper is used in the Old Testament Hebrew scriptures was when Isaac found a wife, right? That's the first time prosper is used. So in the Most High's eyes, you as a man, you prosper, you go forward when you find quality woman. That's what I know for a fact. You feel stronger around a quality woman. I'm gonna be honest with you. You got a good one by your side, your chest out. It gives you a, it comes from God. So keep in mind that God created women to help us. That's God's intention. What has happened, and what you're referring to probably, is what Satan and demons have done to so many women by polluting them, using them for demonic agendas, and messing them up. That's what's happened to society. So it is sad what has happened to so many women. And I blame social media for that. I blame poor leadership. I blame women like Larsa Pippen, by the way, a lady, you know what I mean, 47 years old. She's online talking about how she had sex with Scottie Pippen 4 or 5 times. You should not be saying that's a 47-year-old woman. That's, in my opinion, that's a terrible example to give to the future young women. You got this 47-year-old auntie, okay, with all these young women online, 17, 18, 19, 25 years old, listening to this garbage. You feel me? So I think that, you know, the concern you may have is what has happened to women versus what women should be according to God, in my humble opinion. So, guys, I am officially out of time. I thank you guys for listening to this talk. I thank you guys who have donated. I want some of you guys to go share this video. This is one you should share with your friend. Those who are ready for this, not anybody. Because the thing is, this type of content, some guys not ready for this yet. And I understand that. So this is one of them talks that a guy has to be ready for this. Some men are going to see this, delete it, right? Don't want to hear it. So this is one that men got to kind of come across organically. Kind of run into this when it's their time to wake up and to experience a new level of life. This is who this is for. So I'm going to save this video. I'm going to upload it. Guys, thanks for tuning in. I appreciate the support and the views and follows. I got to go. Peace.